But for our Bible study, let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're continuing our stepping through the phrases of what we often refer to as the Lord's Prayer, which is a prayer that Jesus gave as an example for us. And so we are on verse 12. So, of course, the prayer begins, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." And then verse 12, "And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors." And so here is an interesting request. It is asking the Lord for something, and it is asking for it with a comparison to something that we're doing, right? Forgive us our debts, even as we forgive our debtors, right? So we're making a request of the Lord, and we're drawing a parallel to our own conduct. Now, that in itself should be a bit sobering, right? How well do you forgive those that are indebted to you? Right? So Jesus is teaching us, when it comes to the matter of forgiveness, that when we ask God for forgiveness, in our minds, there ought to be a straight line drawn to the way we forgive. Okay? And so I am certain that the Lord intended for this to be a great challenge to us, okay? Because just a couple of verses later, so after the Amen, right? So verse 13 has the Amen, and then in verse 14 he goes on and talks about this matter of forgiveness, okay? And we'll look at that in just a minute. Okay, so this is what we're dealing with, though, right? We're asking the Lord to forgive us, and we'll talk about what it is that we're asking Him to forgive in a minute, but I do want to emphasize the parallel that is made between our forgiving of others, okay? Now, having done that, let's think about this matter of debts, okay? So forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Okay, so there's obviously similar terms that are used there. So they're from the same word family. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is someone who has a debt to us, right? So the question is, what are we talking about here? Debts. Okay, so, you know, someone borrows, you know, $20 from you, and they are now your debtor. You're the creditor. Are you supposed to forgive everybody all the money that they owe you so that you're not going to bother collecting? Well, not necessarily so. What's interesting is the Jewish people, of course, what was it, every 7 years you forgave those debts, right? And that's why I say not necessarily so. And what's interesting, of course, later in Matthew's Gospel, in Matthew 18, the Lord gives an example, and I think it's in response to a question raised by Peter, is it not? Where he says, Peter says, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times?" Right? And of course, Jesus says, no, not seven times, 70 times seven. And then he gives the example of a certain king, which would take account of his servants, and he had this one servant owed him 10,000 talents. And because he couldn't pay, the king forgave him. And then that servant turns around, and someone else owed him, 100 pence, which is an infinitesimal fraction of 10,000 talents, right? And he refused to forgive. Now, of course, there it's talking about real money, but it is an illustration, right? So we can't say that the Lord is requiring us to forgive there. But certainly there are other examples and historical situations where the Lord would encourage us to be forgiving, even when it comes to obligations. So circumstances may point us that way. I don't think it's an absolute 100% requirement, but we need to be certainly cultivating a forgiving spirit that may even include monetary debts, but certainly it includes, right, without question, it would include offenses, right? And in fact, the term that is used in verses 14 and 15, King James translates it trespasses, but it is elsewhere translated with the term offenses as well. And in fact, in Romans chapter 4 that we've been dealing with, where we saw at the end of the chapter that Jesus was delivered for our offenses. Same word here translated in verses 14 and 15, trespasses. All right? So even that parallel would suggest that sin is certainly in view here, right? So Jesus was delivered for our, what verses in 14 and 15 are encouraging us to forgive, right, in other people. So we have that connection, but I want to show you another connection that removes all question, okay, in Luke chapter 11. So in Luke chapter 11, notice verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Okay, so folks, what that tells us is this is a different occasion than what Matthew 6 is recording. Matthew 6, what we're looking at in Matthew 6 is right plunk in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, so Luke 2 is a different occasion, but Jesus teaches and uses essentially the same example. He said unto them, verse 2, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. Right? And this is the word for sins, right? Our hamartia, our missing of the mark, right? And then it goes on, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. There it uses the same word family as Matthew, right? So I think very clearly this matter of sin is in view here, okay? And of course, so what he's talking about is that we are coming to God and we are asking him to forgive our sins. Now, this anticipates, I believe, something other than what kind of request with respect to sin. Okay, so think of a person's life and think of when they might be coming and asking for the Lord's forgiveness. I think this is not anticipating one kind of situation where we would ask the Lord to forgive us. I'm making this very hard. Okay. Okay, so when we're coming, when we're a lost person and we're asking the Lord to save us, okay, what Jesus is teaching here doesn't seem to have that situation in view, and I say that in part because very clearly the person praying this prayer, I mean, how did the prayer start? Our Father. So it's really a prayer given for people who are already God's children. Okay? Are you with me? So in other words, when we're talking here in verse 12, forgive us our debts or our sins, it seems to anticipate a situation where it's believing people, Christian people. They're already children of God. All right? So that raises the question, do children of God have to ask him to forgive their sins? I mean, I thought that, you know, Jesus died for all of our sins, past, present, and future. And so why do we have to ask him? I mean, when I was saved, right, and again, there's no formula language, but certainly there's the whole idea of repentance is recognizing my sin against God and turning from that and asking him to save me from my sins and their consequence and, you know, believing that he died to pay the penalty for them and all of that. And so I'm accepting God's offer of eternal life through his Son, that I would not perish but have eternal life and so on, right? Well, of course, yeah, we as forgiven children of God, right, whose sins are in the blood or under the blood, as it were, the Bible does teach us that even as children of God, we will have occasion where we need to come and ask the Lord to forgive us our sins. Proof, 1 John chapter 1. Right? And again, very familiar verse for Christians, but I do want us to note that, again, John here is writing to people who are believers. And he says, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, and that word means to say the same thing about them, and it be saying the same thing about them as God says about them, right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Okay, so what I understand in part those verses to be saying is that even as children of God, right, we, this side of eternity, right, because John, 1 John chapter 3 goes on to say that one day we're going to see Christ, and when we see him, we'll be like him, right? So at that point in time, sin's gone, right? But this side of, at that point in time, we've got a sin issue, right? You have a sin issue. I have a sin issue. We all have a sin issue, right? And as a child of God, I need to care about that. That needs to matter to me, right? And there are a lot of reasons for that, that it needs to matter to me, but not the least of which is the effect that it has on my fellowship with my Savior, right? Because it's talking what we read in verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's one with another, us with God, right? And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us, right? So there's this walking in the light is not walking in sin. Walking in darkness is walking in sin, right? And so I need to care about it because it will affect my fellowship with God, because God is light and in him is no darkness, right? Verse, one of them verses here said that. Verse 5, right? God is light and in him is no darkness. Okay, so when I, as a child of God, turn aside, when I disobey God and I sin, I need to ask him to forgive my sin. Okay? And again, you know, that question about, well, I thought, you know, when I trusted Christ as my Savior, that all of my sins were dealt with. Well, yeah, they are in an eternal sense, right? So in other words, you know, it's not like, okay, you're good for, you know, X number of sins, and once you go over that number, you know, you're in trouble again. Okay, that's not the way salvation works, right? So there is this, from an eternal standpoint, from a judicial court of God standpoint, we have been declared righteous. And it's not because we are righteous. It's because we have met his required condition to believe, right? As Romans 4 has been teaching us, okay? So having met his required condition to believe, he declares us to be righteous, and that's the basis for our eternal salvation. My not sinning is not the basis for my eternal salvation. But it is, or it does, as I pointed out, have an effect on my fellowship, my relationship with the Lord, my communion with him, right? My sin will hinder my fellowship with the Lord, right? And if I am truly a child of God, that ought not be okay with me, right? It is possible for us, Ephesians 4 uses the language, to grieve the Holy Spirit. Sinning would grieve the Holy Spirit. Where is the Holy Spirit? He resides in us if we're a child of God. And so when we, as a child of God, sin, that Holy Spirit is grieved. We know it because sin is not from him. Sin is not from God, right? God's Spirit is desiring to produce in us his fruit, right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. Against such there is no law. In other words, that's not sin, those things that he's trying to produce in us. Yes?
Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And then it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much.
Right.
So what a tie-in.
Yeah.
So confess your faults one to another.
Right.
And it's tied into our prayer life.
True. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And in Matthew's gospel as well, in fact, I think it's... Sermon on the Mount, so chapter 5, let's go back to chapter 5. So this is bringing it to the human level, right? But it also has the divine relationship in perspective. Okay, so Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, therefore, so this is after he's challenged us not to be angry with our brother, right? Which is equivalent to murder in God's eyes. Therefore, verse 23, if you bring your gift to the altar, and if you're doing that, what are you doing? You're worshiping the Lord, right? You're coming to have fellowship with the Lord. If you bring your gift to the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, in other words, you have sinned against him somehow, he's got something against you, then we're told, leave your gift before the altar, go your way first. be reconciled to your brother, and then come offer your gift to God. Right? So again, that's drawing a straight line in a sense, isn't it? Right? And it's saying that our worship of God is going to be hindered if we've sinned against someone and we haven't dealt with that. Right? And I think what Matthew 6 is bringing into view is the other direction, right? Where someone has sinned against us, and if we're, you know, kind of nursing that bitter spirit and that grudge against them, and we kind of try to ignore them when they walk into the room, and just, you know, distance ourselves from them and cut ourselves off from them and so on, right? Because, you know, they did this or said that or whatever. And it can be sin, folks. We're not saying that this is all imagined and made up. We're talking real, real offense. God calls us from our heart to forgive. Right? And he's saying that it will affect whether or not he forgives us. Okay, so what's happening in Matthew 6 is he is challenging us when we come to pray, that as we ask the God to forgive us our sin, right? So in some way, God has convicted us of this sin, right? Maybe it's just his spirit, right? And you knew, I mean, when you did or said or whatever, his spirit just, and you know it, right? Or maybe it's something that's been out of mind and you were reading through the Bible and the Lord just, you know, man, and brought that to your attention. Or maybe it's you're sitting and hearing a message preached. So it doesn't matter the means, right? But when we become conscious of sin in our own hearts, that should bring us to the Lord to ask him to forgive us. And what Jesus is teaching us is that when we come and ask him to forgive us, we need to be mindful of how we have responded to others. Okay? And Jesus is actually teaching us that he, God, makes a connection. And that's if you look quickly down Matthew 6, verse 14. Okay, so this is after the prayer proper, but he says, if you forgive men their trespasses. Okay, so this is a condition, a requirement. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you forgive, God will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That ought to be really, really, you know, an awful prospect for us. Right? That ought not in any way be thought, oh well, no, not a big deal. That ought to really, really get our attention. Right? And if you look ahead to Matthew 18, you have a similar statement that is made. This is that parable or illustration of the 10,000 talents and the 100 pence. But look at the conclusion, right? Verse 35, last verse in the chapter. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you, also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. And so he's saying God's going to treat you like the king treated this unforgiving servant. So back up a little bit. Verse 32, his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired me. Should not you also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Right? And again, like the Lord picks this up multiple times. Ephesians chapter 4. right after it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. Verse 30, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another. And here's another straight line. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Right? So it doesn't matter which way you draw the line, right? So we're challenged to forgive others even as God forgave us. When we pray and ask God to forgive us, there ought to be a straight line, even as we have forgiven others, right? It doesn't matter which direction you come at it, right? God is trying to make a point to us, right? That we need to learn forgiveness in a very practical way, right? And folks, this is a huge part of our reflecting the character and nature of our Father. If God is anything, He's forgiving. Yes? Yes? Right? Think about it. There is not a human being on the planet who doesn't need that from God. If God is anything, He's forgiving. Now, he has requirements, He has conditions. He's not just going to wipe out the sins of the whole world unconditionally. He's going to call us to bow, right? He is going to call us to bow. And folks, part of the calling us to bow is calling us to be forgiving. Again, not to say that that's what your salvation depends on, but what would you say of a person who just absolutely refuses to forgive some offense? Maybe it happened 30 years ago, but when it is brought up, their eyes just turn to fire, and you can tell that this is still niggling at them, right? What would you say about their claim to be a true child of God, right? If there's, okay, so all I'm saying, again, not ours to judge someone's heart, right? But we do have to apply the scriptures to our own heart, right? And there is no room given anywhere in scripture for a true child of God to not cultivate this forgiving spirit from our heart towards others, okay? So I really think that the Lord wants us to understand this as a really, really big deal, right? If sin is a big deal, our sin against God, right, and we need His forgiveness, right, then we need to understand that God desires us to turn around and do likewise, right? So what He's willing to do on a vertical level, and folks, when you think about it, when He's forgiven your sin, that's a way bigger deal than when you forgive someone's sin against you. That's the 10,000 talents. This is the 100 pence, right? So get over it, right? I mean, we have to. Again, we need God's grace, right? But oh, that we would understand, right, really, that this is essential, right? And so what's very interesting about this example prayer is it's full of really rich teaching, right? And so part of the example is when you pray, pray this way. Father, forgive me. And fill in the blank, whatever it is. But as you're praying that, God wants it brought to your mind, right? The manner in which, the willingness with which, you have forgiven others. Okay? And so may the Lord use that as a prod, right? You bring your gifts to the altar, right? You're wanting Him to forgive you. You're wanting to worship. Ah, but whatever's happening on the horizontal level, first go be reconciled to your brother. Then come offer your gift. Right? Because you don't want to come and you don't want your Heavenly Father to do to you what you're doing to that person. if you haven't dealt with it properly, right? You don't want to do that. So first, deal with this. Then, folks, then you should have no hesitation in coming to the Father, right? It's because, Lord, you know, I mean, by your grace, from my heart, right? I've dealt with that. So we're free to ask him to do to us that way. So there are some very interesting expressions in the Bible that way. This has nothing to do with what we've just been talking about, but it is a very interesting expression that is kind of similar. John, in 3 John, writes this. Now I've lost it. Is it 3 John? Oh, yeah, 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Right? And so, I mean, on the one hand, he's talking physical, it would appear, prosper and be in health, even as, straight line, your soul prospers. Right, so the straight line kind of puts an emphasis on stuff, right? So when it comes to this matter of forgiveness, there's a straight line, right? Even as we forgive others, right? So let's go to prayer. And again, let's really, really appreciate God's willingness to forgive. But let's understand, right, that he wants us to learn how to do the same.